Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter, here with Jake Ellenberger.
Yo.
The Juggernaut. Before we start, I want to thank our sponsors. Remove It Restoration. Has your business been vandalized? Has your place been totally screwed up? Has your place been tagged up? Have gang members destroyed your business storefront? If so, please call the professionals at Remove It Restoration. Take away graffiti, restore etched windows, and get your business back to business for a fraction of the cost. So call them at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. That's 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. Trust me, these guys are great. Eric is a really, really great guy. He sponsors fighters, got women like Roxanne Modafari. Great dude. So definitely check them out. Also, HempCore. HempCore, I've been taking HempCore protein. Honestly, my body has never felt better. It's started by two Canadian guys. It's 100% certified hemp protein. Telling you guys, sometimes you like take these protein powders, you don't know what's in it. It's 100% hemp. You're not going to fail a drug test. Lots of people take it. A lot of UFC fighters take it. And Jordan Mean being one of
it.
Them. You've taken it?
It's good. It is. I was pleasantly surprised.
Nice.
Yeah.
You can get it at hempcorestore.com. That's HempCorestore.com. And it's Canadian money, so you could actually save some money. Jake, how's it going, brother?
It's good, man. It's good to see you, Adam.
It's great to see you, man.
I always look forward to our meetings.
So. Really?
Yeah, man, I do.
Nice. It's been like 2 weeks. What's going on? How's your week been?
It's been good, man. Just super busy. Obviously getting ready for July 12th at MGM. So been training, but things are going well, you know. Been able to drop a little weight, but getting ready to start to peak. So
nice.
Yeah, things are good, man. I can't complain.
Are you bringing a lot of karate guys for your training camp or?
Zero.
Zero.
No, zero.
Zero karate guys.
Zero karate.
Is that a smart move?
No. Why would I bring a karate guy?
Well, because it seems like a lot of times they want to emulate the guy you're fighting, so you would bring in a guy.
Tom, he does karate. Okay. I didn't know. This is news to me. I didn't know that.
Really?
Sorry. Yeah. First time.
Have you been watching any of his fights?
No, I haven't seen a fight. No.
Good. That's a very good strategy,
yeah,
man. I would do the same thing if I were you. Fuck it.
You
just show up, and whoever's in front of you, knock them out.
Yeah, come on, Adam. I've been in fights for free, man. They're gonna pay me.
I love that, man. I love that. I had a crazy, crazy week, man.
How was your trip, man?
Dude, it was insane, man. Let me tell you about this. So, 2 weeks ago, I was performing. I was in Tennessee at the Comedy Catch in Chattanooga. Great, great crowds. I actually loved it there.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. Then they flew me from Atlanta to Amsterdam, Amsterdam to Dubai, and Dubai to the Seychelles Island, right? So it was like 12 hours to Amsterdam, 6 hours and 6 hours. Seychelles, middle of the Indian Ocean. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. I mean, when I say beautiful, like...
Postcard?
Yeah, ridiculous. Like, wow. I have my own private beach.
Yeah.
They gave me like a 3-room condo on the beach. You go on the beach, it's like, it's salt water. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's like a hot tub. So it's me and this guy, Ahmed Ahmed, funny comedian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so we do a show for the prince, right? He basically, this the prince of like Saudi owns half the island.
Yeah.
So he owns this like, this like theater on the island. They bring us in. They give us a cell phone and say, we're going to call you. It's very secretive. On the plane, we meet the cast of 50 Shades of Grey, the musical.
Okay.
They were actually brought in also.
That's cool.
So, which I didn't even know they had a musical. They're sitting behind us. So me and Ahmed do a show for the prince and like 50 women that he's imported in from other countries.
Wow.
Like the hottest one I've ever seen in my life. Like, and like 7 gay dudes.
Okay.
On this like palace that he built, basically. Yeah. And I'm fucking... wrecking everything, applause break. I don't know who these women are,
yeah,
but they're all dressed in like mini skirts, like cut. You could see huge tits, unbelievable. It's like a fucking wet dream. I even said that on stage. I'm almost laughing while I'm on stage. Yeah. So I'm like, this is so fucking surreal. Then Ahmed goes on, Ahmed fucking kills. We get a standing ovation. We can't really see the prince,
awesome, man.
He's in the back.
Yeah.
No, but then here's where the story fucking. So then at the end, they tell us, but you can't party with any of the girls, you can't talk to anybody. They ushered us back out to our part of the island.
Wow.
Yeah, dude. It was like the guy wanted to have no competition.
Wow.
So we didn't get to talk to anybody. And then from the back, we're like, hey, can't we just go out for a little bit? They're like, no, sorry, you can't.
They were all with the prince.
You were all with the prince.
Okay.
And we got to see a TV of everyone partying. So it's me and Ahmed in the back. We're watching the whole place go fucking ballistic, doing flips. Yeah, and we got to talk to nobody. But it was still awesome. So then, I mean, I still got my own beach, and it was still like...
Yeah, yeah.
So then Ahmed knows people in Dubai. So he's like, hey, man, come to Dubai for a couple days. He's like, I'll take care of you. So we go to Dubai, and we go to this hotel, and Ahmed knows the owner of the hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a prince too, right? Another prince. So he owns the hotel we're at, this fucking beautiful hotel. There's a nightclub. We go to the nightclub. Every third girl in the nightclub is an escort. I mean, which is kind of, so like, kind of sucks because like a lot of people are like, girls come up, hey, what's going on, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. And then they're like, hey, $500 for sex. Like, ah, fuck. Yeah. So then I told them I'm an escort too. Yeah. They're like, you're an escort? Oh, me too. I'm like, I charge $500 as well. But either way.
It's a wash. Let's go.
Right. Yeah. Either way, I have a girlfriend now anyway. So I was like, you know what? I got a girlfriend. So we go, we go to Dubai. So then this prince invites us to this like VIP room where we're staying at the club. There's a hot tub in the VIP room.
Mm.
A hot tub. Women are coming in the hot tub. Like the prince is like standing on a towel because he don't want to get his like feet thing. I'm like, I should get a towel. Walk around with a fucking towel and just like step on it wherever I go. Take off my shoes. It was insane, dude. I had the fucking best time. But meanwhile, porn's blocked in the hotel. Cause afterwards, when we were in Seychelles, right? Huh. We like wanted to go to a club afterwards. We're like, fuck this, dude. Like, you know, this is ridiculous. So Ahmed's all pissed off because he got teased by all these girls. So we go to this club, and I'm like, it's all locals. We go there. We're the only white people there. Mm. Ahmed's like, he's not, you know, he's Middle Eastern, but he's whiter than these people. So it's like the music stopped. But I was having a grand old time. Actually, I was doing my black dance moves on the dance floor.
Were you?
And dancing my ass off. Yeah. I was having a blast.
That's got to be cool, like where you go to a place where nobody knows you. So it's kind of like you can just disappear, do your own thing. You know, you don't care how ridiculous you look.
Oh, I didn't get. Yeah, I wasn't gonna see these people again.
Yeah, exactly.
I was having a blast, dude. I needed a couple days off, which was great. I got a couple days off. I'm still like, the flight yesterday was 15 hours. I got off the flight, went right to a comedy club at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach.
Really?
Literally went to Long Beach. Like, I was like, fuck it.
That's a long flight.
Yeah, 15 hours. Yeah. It was fun though. I mean, it was. I had a really good time. I saw this stray dog in Africa. Mm-hmm. When I was in Seychelles in India, which is right off the coast of Africa, it was actually in the airport, and I was like petting it. It was very friendly.
Hmm.
I wanted to take it with me, but it had like this bone sticking out. But they wouldn't let me on the flight with the dog.
Okay, wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, but I really wanted to rescue this dog.
I got a bear trap for my birthday.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Like, what was your birthday?
A real bear. Well, it was the end of March 28th, so it's past. But I've had this weird obsession since I was a little kid with bear traps.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Do you want a bear?
Not really. No, I just these traps, they fascinate me. I don't know why. But Torn, one of the guys.
Yeah, he was on the show.
Yeah, he was on the show. Torn, he's a very interesting guy. But he was like, oh, you know, I got you. I got a bear trap for you. And then like it showed up like 2 days later, it showed up on my doorstep. And I was like, open the box, you know. And my girlfriend Mackenzie's like, hey, what is that? And I was like, oh, nothing. Hey, where's your dog? No, just kidding. But,
wait, so Torn got you a
bear trap. Oh,
now,
yeah.
Are you going to use this bear trap?
Well, you know, I don't know. We haven't. I don't know.
I was going to put it. Hunting for bears, man.
I want to put it on the wall, like just
the bear trap.
Yeah,
the not trap the actual on the bear.
No, the trap.
People are going to think you're into bondage or something, or into some weird sexual fetishes.
I've had worse accusations.
Really? What were these worse? What were some of your worst accusations?
I can't speak into the outer on this podcast about it. So.
Oh, come on. Really? So, you watch the fights over the weekend?
Mm. I did.
Condit Alves?
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was, you know, good to see Condit back. Always an exciting guy, you know. But plus coming off a layoff, it's always tough. You know, it's always curious to see how somebody returns, bounces back.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's he bounced back. He broke his nose. It was pretty gnarly. But
I was telling Marina. Marina actually came, but then couldn't stay. But I was telling she'll be back next week. Next week, by the way, we have Chris Weidman on the show as well as Johnny Hendricks. Today we have Frankie Edgar and Will Brooks, by the way. But I was telling Marina, Condit looked, the first round was very close. You could almost say Alves won the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Condit is one of these guys, when he sees blood, he goes after it.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked amazing. After he landed that initial elbow and he saw blood, he just took it to him. Yeah. I mean, Alves' nose was in the fucking fourth row. Give Alves credit, though, because he didn't – what heart? Because a lot of guys, a lot of lesser men would have been like, you know what, they would have either tapped or looked for a way out.
I know it. I think he wanted to keep fighting, too. But
yeah.
He was – they were like, no, your nose is over here on your other side of your face.
No, and the thing about Alves, all I kept thinking was we had one of the guys on American Top Team that said he gets the most pussy out of anybody or the Black Zillions, right? He's a Black Zillion.
American Top Team.
Oh, ATT. Yeah. They said all the ATT guys, he gets the most pussy out of everybody. Hmm. So it's I wonder if that's going to actually hold true now that his nose is but like all I could think of it was like, man, this guy will probably I wonder how they're going to get his nose back. Is his nose ever going to be the same, you think?
I don't know. You know, it's if that's the thing, like, cuz I've had some I've had a septoplasty, like I've had so I can breathe easier through my nose, but you know, if he's going to keep fighting, you got to Any you know, you go through plastic surgery, it's dangerous. You know, you're gonna fight again. It could potentially be worse. But
so, how long do you think he's out for?
I'd probably say end of the year, maybe 6 months.
Wow,
5 months.
I mean, Matt Brown was basically tweeted out like they're gonna stop a freaking a fight because of bleeding. Like he couldn't believe they were gonna stop that fight. I don't know. I think it was a good call, right? I mean, if your nose is dripping blood the entire time, they got to call the fight.
Yeah, I don't know. They weren't sure if it probably affected his vision or if there's going to be long-term. Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of factors, but every ref's differently. It's just like judging, man. It's very inconsistent.
Yeah, no, that was a crazy fight. There was a lot of the Nick Lentz fight. I kind of felt bad for Nick. He's a guy that I always root for. He got caught with that guillotine by Charles Oliveira. He was looking pretty good before. It was a back-and-forth fight. You know, Nick is one of these guys who he's right there. He'll give anybody a tough fight. He's a solid dude.
He reminds me a lot of Gray Maynard, like super tough, and he's been right there. You know what I mean? Like, kind of on the brink of a top echelon guy, but just has to, you know what I mean? It's hard for him to break through.
It's hard, and it's so crazy because the way that that Oliveira set it up, I didn't realize he was only 24 years old. I thought he was older, was that, you know, he came in with a knee.
Well, Nick Lentz, 44 or what?
Because he's been around for a while.
I know.
He came in with a knee. Nick looked down for 2 seconds. 2 seconds. He slept on that guillotine. It wasn't even like a bad shot to a guillotine.
Yeah.
Because that's what I first thought it was when I first like saw it. I'm like, oh, he probably just wrestler shot. It could have happened to anybody.
Mm.
It was that split second knee to the. What a setup.
Yeah.
And that was a tough fight for Nick. I think he'll come back, but he's just. You know, I almost feel bad for all the lower tier top 10 guys in that division because of all the attention that Conor McGregor is getting.
Yeah.
You know, you look at this, like Conor McGregor in his McMansion. And by the way, I actually met some people in Ireland and they said they hate Conor McGregor. They said a lot of Ireland hates him. They said
really?
That there's two. Well, he was telling me that, like, I guess he's from the part of Ireland where everyone sort of brass and cocky and this and that and they're from the outskirts and everyone on the outskirts hates that set. I didn't realize. I just figured Conor McGregor was a national hero in Ireland. But she was telling me it's different. I don't know if Irish people can confirm what this woman was talking about. Please do. It's 4:05, so we have to call Will Brooks, the Bellator champion.
That's right.
I was watching some of his fights last night. I didn't realize this guy's been around for so long. He's not some kid that just
Yeah.
He was in the Dream promotion, and I was watching one of his fights against
Fight against Michael Chandler was unreal.
That was a war. But there was another fight that he had. Here we go. Will Brooks. Here we go. There was another fight he had against this guy. Satoru Kioka. You hear this guy?
Mm-mm.
This guy's got wins over Condit, Kurt Pellegrino, Gomi, Kikuno. Hmm. He's beating a lot of guys. And Will Brooks was, we'll talk to him about it, but he was 7-0, fought only local guys, and they flew him to Japan, and he beat him in the second round. Brutally beat this guy.
Wow.
And he hit him with a suplex like I've never seen. It was Suplex City. So I actually want to talk to him about this because it was pretty badass. Because that was the thing about this guy, Will Brooks, is that I first heard of him with the whole Chandler fight when he fought Chandler on short notice and won.
Yeah.
I didn't realize this kid's been – there's so many fighters like that. Like, you know, I only hear of them late in the game. Yeah. Well, what I perceive, you know, what they perceive probably late.
Definitely. No, I think, too, when he fought Chandler, that was kind of his coming out party a little bit. People didn't really know who he was. But yeah. It was like, you saw how he fought Chandler, and you're like, damn, this kid's good.
Yeah. Well, because he's actually been around for a long time. So, but wait till you see this suplex he actually hits him with. I tweeted out last night. I said, you got to check this thing out. It's so funny because everyone thinks I'm just a roasted account. But I get excited about some of these fights, and I tweet them out, and people think it's like a joke. I'm like, no, he's fucking – this is pretty badass.
Hello?
Hey, is this Will Brooks?
What's going on, man?
What's going on? It's Adam Hunter and Jake Ellenberger. You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
What's up, Will?
Oh, right on, man. I was waiting on a phone call.
Oh, thanks, man. Thank you for your time. Dude, I was actually just showing I was just showing Jake, as we speak, your suplex that you beat Satoru Kioka with. That was you beat him by TKO, but that was a fucking badass suplex, man.
Yeah, that was that was like a spur of the moment. I don't know what else to do right now, so I just grabbed onto him and threw it.
No, it was amazing. And I was telling Jake before you got on that you're a guy that, like, I heard of you in your first Chandler fight. It was the first time I've ever seen you. But I didn't realize that you've been around for a while.
I guess so. Yeah, I've been I was in the mix with the Bellator lightweight tournaments and stuff like that. So, I mean, I've been around, but at the same time, I haven't been around. You know, because really, who really at that time with so many things going on with Bellator, nobody was really paying attention to the tournament. So, it was kind of I was around, but nobody saw me.
Yeah. No, your guy definitely creeped up on everybody, and. And you're doing great. I was doing some. So you were a football star in high school, and you got a football scholarship in college, right?
Yeah. I had a football scholarship in college. I ended up messing up my knee when I was a junior or a freshman at college, and just decided that maybe football wasn't going to work out for me, man. And I had to figure out something else to do with myself. And you know, I started recognizing with football, man, there's so many injuries that you end up suffering, and then after your career is done. You have to deal with those things after your career is done. So what would you want to do? Be done, be able to run around with your kids, or, you know, go into another profession, have a healthier lifestyle, and just go about things that way, you know?
Yeah, I mean, so you started you went to Hampton College in Illinois, and then that's where you started training, right? So your first seven fights.
I went to Harper College in Schaumburg, Illinois, and then, playing football there. And I was gonna play a couple of years there and transfer to Michigan State and trying to, you know, fulfill my scholarship deal there. But I ended up just deciding that not even a risk it. You know, I thought I was gonna be able to play in the NFL, but I'm undersized and getting injured and that field of work didn't make sense. So I just started training in Schaumburg, Illinois at Midwest Training Center.
So then you go you win your first seven fights. As a pro, you're training in Illinois. You're kind of an unknown guy. Then they fly you to Japan to fight this guy, Satoru Kioka, who had already beaten Carlos Condit, beat Kurt Pellegrino, beat Gomi, beat Kikuno. You were a huge underdog, and you just fucked this dude up.
Yeah, man. I mean, I don't really know what to say, man. When I went out there, I was kind of just going off nerves and just being kind of brand new and a little bit of a little nervous. So I was just kind of going out there and going based off of survive, you know. So once we got in the ring, I started clicking. And like, oh shit, I'm in Japan. I'm fighting like a big time name in mixed martial arts, and I've only been fighting regional shows. I'm making a substantial amount of money compared to what I was making on regional shows. And I was just like, I flipped the switch, and it was like, kill whatever that moves in front of you right now. So I was lucky to get in there and just take care of business, you know?
No, and then you did something else that I don't see that much in MMA, where, here, I'll show Jake right now. You're like behind him. You got him behind him in like a rear naked choke, like behind, and you're doing uppercuts from underneath his armpit, right? You don't see that much anymore, right, Jake? Do you ever see this?
No, you don't. I mean, you don't really see it much anymore.
Was that like an old thing? This right here.
It was one of those things, man. I was like, I felt him getting a little weak, you know. I wanted to try to work my way in, to throw the hooks in, but I felt like, you know, why go and waste a good position when you can hurt a guy and possibly finish the fight? So I'm a guy that whatever opportunity I get, if I can hit you, if I knee your leg, knee your body, if I can punch you from whatever angle, as long as I can hit you or hurt you, man, I don't care where it's coming from. As long as it works, I'm going to throw it.
Now, Jake, why aren't guys doing that anymore?
Well, that's a good question. I don't have a good answer.
Yeah.
I really wish, you know, I mean, to his point, I think, you know, a lot of guys are consistently finding a place to strike, you know, in any position. But I think, you know, just the level of competition keeps getting better. You know, guys train more and are becoming more aware. So you don't see that probably as often.
He also, the guy was like known for his heel hooks, and you got out of his heel hook by kicking him in the face from the ground, which was pretty cool. You can't do that either, can you? Are you allowed to do that anymore?
Yeah, no, I didn't even, I remember the rules in Japan, like you can kick to the face or soccer kick or whatever. And
actually,
he had me in a knee lock, and, you know, I had been training, like, getting out of knee locks and different, like, transitions and defenses, and then I blanked out. I was so nervous. He had me so deep, I blanked out, and then my corner was like, kick him in the face. And I'm like, wait, Bronco what? Kick. He's like, kick him in the face. So I'm like, I just started stomping his face. Yeah. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, I can't kick in the face right now. So this is my backup plan. So I started just stomping his face.
Yeah, that's great. I wish they would adopt that rule here in the U.S. Like, you could kick in the face, stomp in the face. You know, just makes there's that's a whole another facet, you know, people got to worry about. You can't just, like, put a hand down, you know. You can't knee the face.
But yeah.
It'd be a way different, you know, different game.
It's like that. It's like the up kick, you know. Like, why can't you do a straight stomp on the ground? You know, like, if you're both on the ground, why can't you kick to that guy's face? If you're both on your hip or on your side or something, it's just like throwing that up kick or that T kick that John Jones throws to the front of the knee, you know? There's a lot of techniques that are way more dangerous than, I guess, kicking a guy when he's down, you know, kicking him in the head, you know?
Yeah, no, some of the rules are kind of weird. Now, I got to say, in your second Chandler fight, at one point you had him hurt and he didn't know where he was. I mean, he literally was out on his feet and he was looking at you like, why is there a black guy punching me right now?
Yeah, man, that was that caught me off a little guard. Caught me off guard a little bit just because we were just in a scramble. And you know, I remember our first fight in the fifth round, we were in a scramble and I was going to step away from a single leg and he clipped me and dropped me. So when we were in that scramble, I was thinking, oh, this is what he likes. He likes to throw a shot. So I'm like, I'm going to beat him to the punch. And I clipped him with that big right hand. And in my mind, I didn't think that I hit him hard enough to hurt him. But when he faded back and was waving his hand, I thought maybe I poked him in the eye. And I'm a sportsman, man. I'm not going to attack a guy that can't defend himself. If I poked him in the eye or something, I would want that same respect. So once I looked at him, I realized he was waving his hands like he was just out. He's like, all right, I'm about to jump on him. I'm going to let the ref do his job, you know?
Yeah, no, because it looked like you had to hit him, but you're like, what's going on right now? This is weird. It just, the whole thing was kind of weird.
I was looking at him, and again, man, like, I tell people, I get we're in the business, we're in the hurt business, you know, and I'm still one of those guys that I'm only going to do enough to win this fight. I'm not going to do enough to maybe generate some injuries or some damage that may affect your career down the road or something like that. I think everybody should have a fair opportunity to compete in this sport. So I never want to be that guy that, like, cause further injury that could come back to haunt his
You
guy,
do, really?
So.
Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind being that guy. I try to put a guy's leg on backwards with a heel hook.
Really?
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
A couple times. Well, once actually wasn't my fault, Adam. Somebody in training. Exactly. I don't do this in training, but to be fair, I wouldn't do this in training. But when guys, you know, you always got the guys who have, like, the super egos. They go extra hard. They try to, like, you know, flex on you.
Yeah.
And one guy almost blew my knee out. So then I was like, all right, so cool. And I tried to heel hook him, and of course he's like, try to put his finger in my eye, but anyway,
who was this?
I don't know who it was.
Oh, okay.
But this was, yeah. It was a while ago, yeah. But I've kind of changed the way I viewed a fight, though. I mean, you know, if obviously that's what the ref's there for, too. You know, guys are going to tap if you put them in a dangerous position, but
yeah.
The level of
and I mean,
like I said,
you got to have that idea that, like, if this guy has the opportunity, he's probably not going to think the same way I'm going to think, you know. So I got to be as aggressive I could possibly be, because some guys are just really tough, you know. So you're cranking an ankle lock or something like that, this guy may not tap, but you know, and the ref may think like this guy's just going to tough it out. So it might force you to just, you know, like one of my coaches said, take that shit off and take it home with you, you know. Like,
yeah.
If you got to snap his arm, take it off and go home with it, you know. But I'm still brand new to this sport, so I'm trying to make that transition into that mindset where I got to be willing to do stuff like that. But you know, I'm starting to grow into that idea.
Oh, by the way, when you beat Satoru Kioka, and you were a young single guy in Japan, how much puss did you get? I mean, how much Asian tail did you take home with you?
Just slaying chicks?
Slaying. None, man. Yeah, I mean, my old lady was out there with me. So
oh, all right.
I was on my best behavior, you know.
Nice.
She's like my babysitter. Every time I turn around, she's right there. So I don't mess around, man.
How long have you been married for?
No, we're not married yet. We're actually engaged. We're getting married next year. So, but man, you know what? The way our relationship has been working out, you might as well say we've been married, man. Like, she digs her hands in my pockets. She tells me what to do. Hey, she wants to argue and fight all the time. So we're pretty much a married couple. You know?
Is she a white girl, black girl, Asian girl?
White girl, man. I'll be honest with everybody, man. I ain't never had any luck with black chicks, man.
Really?
Mainly because I'll be honest with you, man. I lived my life with black women, you know, my mom, my sisters, cousins, all them. All they want to do is argue and bicker and fight and stuff like that. So I'm like, you know what? I live with it all my life. I don't want to have to live with it for the rest of my life. I'm good, you know. I'm all right.
So now, is your family accepting that, or they are like, when you bring home a white chick, you're like, you know, you caused this. This is your fault. If you guys hadn't argued this so far.
No, man, it ain't like that. It ain't like I'm bringing home a white chick and this is my backup plan type shit. No, my family is killing. My family is cool with everything, man. Like, as long as you're not bringing home some female that's gonna disrespect our family, things like that. And, you know, you bring home a classy chick and everything's cool. You bring some trashy little ratchet chick home, you'll have some issues, but
right.
Adam loves,
I know those rules.
Adam loves the ratchet chicks.
Of course, you gotta look. Well, once in a while, look, you have to get a ratchet chick before you get a regular chick. You have to kind of.
You sound like, by the way, you brought up that question. It sounds like you're into those sketchy old chicks.
Well, sometimes, man. Sometimes you gotta know what you don't want. You know, you have to go through that. You know. But
a guy, this is a guy who's sitting on Tinder for hours all day, you know, right swiping all day.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Dude, Tinder's, that's been great for me. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ.
Well, I got to say, your first fight, sorry to go back to MMA, but your first fight with Michael Chandler, I think, you know, I was impressed for sure. I think a lot of people were kind of like, you know, Chandler was the guy at the time. He's kind of just running over people, and I think, you know, you showed when you beat him, people were like, oh wow, you know, do you think that was like when you really really coming out, like really you know, your time to shine?
Yeah, definitely, man. I mean, I've been a type of guy, I've been a little mathematical with the way I've approached this sport, you know. I've recognized that you have a lot of building to do. You don't want to come right out and show everybody who you are as a fighter, who you are as a person. You want to keep the fans kind of wanting more. And I think that was that opportunity to be able to come out and be like, all right, well, some of the fans have seen what I can do during a tournament. And now it's this opportunity to really come out and show them what else I got. So kind of take the top off of it a little bit more. And that's what I was trying to do with that first fight with Chandler. And I just recognized the fact that he was going to give me that opportunity just because he's an incredibly talented fighter and he's a very tough guy. So I was just like, man, this is the opportunity I've been waiting for to really open up and show people who I am and what I can do when you put me in the fire, you know. And I think I did a pretty good job. There's some things that I wish I could change, but you know, going into the second fight, I definitely feel like I changed a lot of things.
Now, you're very outspoken on Twitter. You're one of the most funniest people on Twitter to follow. sometimes like you get angry at like Bellator and you'll just tweet out, "This is bullshit. You don't promote me like you do other guys." Like, like depending on what mood you are, you're very out. Like, are you happy now with the way Bellator is treating you?
Yeah, man, I'm really happy, man. I think it was, again, it was one of those things where when I was yelling and screaming and things like that, there was a lot of stuff going on with when Beer was around. There was a lot of things behind the scenes that were, that was really kind of unfair. And I was watching a lot of guys just kind of going on about their business and just being treated any type of way. And that's just not how I've been treated. Like, I've been taught, you know, to allow people to treat you any type of way. That's just, that doesn't fly in my family. So for me to sit back and just kind of play my role or something like that, it just doesn't fit. You know, I think a lot more fighters need to start to understand their value, appreciate their place, appreciate what they bring to the table. Understand that we're contractors. You know, these guys they're renting out our skills. They're contracting out our services. You know, so it's not we're working for them. We're working together. So if you're gonna treat me like I'm just, you know, I'm your cab driver, you can talk however you want to and treat me however, and yeah, you know, I'm gonna get a little bit verbal. But now there's been, since the regime has changed, the identity has changed, the idea has changed, there's a lot more positive energy. Scott Coker is a great guy. The people he's brought in, they've been amazing. They've brought a positive energy around. And that's always good to be able to work in a positive environment. So
yeah, but
I'm a lot more chill now.
But your Twitter feed is not as funny, by the way, just so you know. It's not as entertaining. I mean, it was like, it got so bad that Derek Brunson was tweeting, "Go to bed, Will. Go to bed. Stop it. Please." Yeah. Other fighters from other organizations were telling you to calm down. That's how bad it was.
Yeah. No, it got pretty bad. I was actually getting phone calls from other fighters, like guys that I hadn't even talked to, you know, like never had met, never talked to, and they were giving me phone calls. And like, some guys would even say, like, "Man, more power to you. Like, you said everything I wanted to say, blah, blah, blah." And now, you know, I'm back to being chill, calm, boring Will Brooks. That's who I am, man. I'm like, I'm so peaceful, man. I just want a positive energy for everybody. And once I'm in my positive, easygoing place, I'm a pretty boring dude.
Now, how do you think you would fare up against some of the guys in the UFC, like a guy like Rafael Dos Anjos, Pettis, Khabib, guys in your weight class?
Yeah, I think I'd be able to beat those guys, man. I think, of course, I have to look at the fact that those guys have been in this sport way longer than me. They've had a lot more experience than I have. They've been fighting the best guys in the world and have had that time to build that experience. But I think I'm working my way up to that point where if you sign your name on that contract, I can definitely beat you. You know, I got a great coaching staff around me. I'm starting to understand who I am as a fighter, understand where my skills lie, and really starting to appreciate who I am as a competitor. So
I'm going to put Will Brooks says, Will Brooks, all right, so Will Brooks, I can beat Rafael Dos Anjos. That's going to be the title of this podcast.
Yeah, if we were signing our names on a contract tomorrow, I'd go out there and beat him.
All right, good. Now, what do you think of Conor McGregor?
That dude is awesome. I love that dude, man. I know a lot of people think he's a loud mouth, getting a little annoyed with him, but man, I feel like this sport needs it. You know, I think this sport started to kind of die out, a little too mainstream. You know what I'm saying? Too white bread, like Fox Sports, like Fox TV, like, you know what I'm saying? Like too edited out, and it was just kind of getting Brady Bunch kind of deal going. You know, nobody wanted animosity towards each other, and that dude's bringing it out of everybody. You know, you can see it in other guys. Other guys are kind of
stepping up their
game, kind of doing a little bit more talking now. So it's cool. I love him.
Night. Now, when's your next fight?
I'm not sure yet, man. I'm actually talking to Coker, my manager, right now, trying to figure that out right now. So I hope it's sometime soon. I hope it's in August, but you never know, man.
Well, listen, Will, thanks for coming on the podcast, man. It's a pleasure. I'm a huge fan, and I look forward to watching you grow and take over the sport, buddy.
Man, thank you. I appreciate it, brother. Thank you very much.
All right, take care, Will. All right, that was Will Brooks. Nice guy. I think, you know, good champ. Happy for the guy. Wishing nothing but success. Our next interview is with Frankie Edgar, former UFC champion, one of my favorite fighters to watch. My favorite people, actually. Just an all-around good dude. Actually, we have to schedule him later because he's coaching kids wrestling. I mean, how fucking cool is that? You have Frankie Edgar as your wrestling coach. I mean, it's like, can you imagine that? It's like having Larry Bird as your basketball coach while he's playing. It's pretty damn awesome. You don't see it in other sports, so we're going to talk to him about that. It went over Uriah Faber, what he thinks about the fights this weekend, and other stuff. So we'll talk to Frankie right now.
Oh.
Hey, Frankie.
What's up, man?
What's up, man? It's Adam Hunter.
What's going on?
How's everything going?
Everything's good. How are you?
Good, good, good. So you're coaching kids wrestling?
I am. I'm walking off the mat right now.
How cool is that, man? You're one of the best fighters in the UFC. You're on a 3-fight winning streak. You're a former champion, and you have time to coach kids wrestling. I mean, that is amazing.
Yeah, you know, it's all right. It's my own kids, so, you know, I got to be there.
That's still amazing, man. Now, how old are your kids now?
I have a 6, a 4, and then a almost year-old daughter.
Damn.
Two boys and then a daughter, yeah.
Frankie Edgar, the answer is to not use protection because you are having lots of kids. So,
yeah, procreate. Fight and procreate. That's what I do.
Nice. So the 6 and 4, they're already wrestling. How are they, good?
They're all right. You know, we'll see. We'll see.
They're 6 years old.
I mean, my liking. They're a little soft for my liking, but you know, we'll see. We'll toughen them up.
You're toughing up a 6-year-old? That's Jesus Christ. By the way, congrats on your last win over Faber. I thought, you know, some people said it was like, you know, it was a boring fight. I didn't think it was boring at all. I think you got two of the when you have two really high level guys competing who are quick and even in a lot of areas, one's a guy a little bit better than the other, that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's one of the best to do it, and it was an easy fight. You know, I definitely was felt like I was trying to come after him, and I had to be careful. I couldn't, you know, blindly go after him too aggressive because, you know, he's Uriah Faber and he's good at what he does. So, you know, I had to definitely be on my P's and Q's and make sure I get that W. But, yeah, I mean, he's one of the best, so. To beat him in any way, shape, or form is always a positive.
No, it was great. And I really noticed that you really worked on that that knee tap double, which I haven't seen a lot. You know what I'm talking about? When you kind of I've seen other guys do that too, actually. Benavidez did it his last fight, where you kind of take your right hand, you push his shoulder, and then you get your left hand and kind of knee tap him as opposed to really committing for the double leg. But it seems to be effective. It worked a couple times during that fight.
It is. It does work pretty good. You know, it's something I'll throw in there once in a while. You know, if you can freeze your opponent, you can get it off sometimes. But, you know, it's something you could do, too. It's not so much, you know, not committing on a shot and getting caught underneath as much.
Yeah, no, it was great. And in your last 3 fights, man, I mean, that beatdown of Cub Swanson, you know, Cub's a friend of mine, but Jesus Christ, that was ugly.
Yeah, that was a good matchup for us. And, yeah, I was able to, like, to capitalize on some things. So, yeah, it was a good one.
And then I was at your BJ Penn fight. I don't know if you saw me. I was in the third row, and I was sitting right behind Ronnie from Jersey Shore.
He's pretty amped up, man.
I was sitting there. It was me. Chris Angel was next to me. Dana White was a little ahead. Chris Weidman, Anthony Bourdain, and Ronnie from Jersey Shore is wearing a tank top and sunglasses, and he's going, "Fuck him up, Frankie! Kick his ass! And every time he landed a punch, he'd be like, "That's how we do it in Jersey! Stop!" And he just started. He was on his chair jumping around. I don't know.
Like a rerun of the Jersey Shore.
Dude, it was unbelievable. It was so entertaining, but everybody was kind of uncomfortable during it. But, it was hilarious. It was so funny. Could you hear him yelling that during the fight?
I could, man. I mean, I didn't know who it was until afterwards, and then he was pretty banged up. It was funny.
Now, were you surprised that BJ came out with that strange boxing stance?
You know, we kind of thought it might happen because at the stare down and a couple times we've seen him doing it. So, you know, we talked about it before the fight, but I didn't even notice it when it's going on because in the fight I'm just looking at him. I'm looking him in the eyes. I don't even know he's on his toes. I'm already looking down. I didn't really realize until like kind of halfway through the fight that he's doing that, you know. And I wasn't too surprised. And BJ, every time I fought him, he kind of did something different, you know.
Yeah.
The way he approached the fight, the way he came out, I felt like every time I fought him was different, you know. So that's kind of BJ. You know, tries to reinvent things sometimes when he's probably just sick to being who he is.
Yeah, that's a good point. I noticed that, like, there's like a Frankie Edgar curse where guys, after you fight them, they're never the same. They're like BJ and Maynard.
The Frankie Edgar effect. No,
You're like the Mandingo of fighting, where like a chick fucks Mandingo, her vagina is never going to close. You're kind of.
I'll take that.
After they fight, you guys are just never. They're just different. What are you doing to these people, man?
I don't know if I'm doing anything, man. I think I'm just catching them at the right time, I guess. I don't know, man.
Now, are you going to sit out and wait to see who wins the Aldo versus McGregor fight?
Well, I mean, it's a month away. We're about a month away from that fight. So I want to see what happens, you know, and hopefully all goes well and I get the winner.
Now, who do you think wins that fight?
You know, I mean, I think it's a favorable matchup for McGregor just because I think Aldo's going to stand with him. That's where McGregor, as far as we know, is his best place. But just some unknowns about McGregor, and until we know him, we can't really bank on you know, if he's got a ground game, if he's been through adversity, if he's been, you know, how he is in the later rounds. So I got to go with Aldo.
You're going with Aldo. Now, who do you want to win?
I mean, really, I don't really care. You know, the more I think about it, whoever. I would, you know, when I think about it, I would like to be the guy to dethrone Aldo. You know, if I get that opportunity next, you know, I think it would mean more if I was able to be the one that was able to take the belt from Aldo.
I mean, Aldo, it's crazy because I was looking at your fights last night. All your losses, aside from the Aldo, which I thought may have been a legitimate loss, I could see them giving you the draw, even the win. But the two Ben Henderson fights, I thought you won. The first Gray Maynard fight was very, very close. You really could have one loss on your record right now, very easily. If anything, you could even have no losses. Does that do you walk around thinking about that, or do you just kind of does that kind of roll off?
Yeah, you know, I think the first Gray Maynard fight, I gave that to him hands down. I think the other ones though were definitely could have went the other way, you know, for sure. But I mean, that's the way it goes, you know. I can't think about what ifs, you know. Yeah. Just kind of keep moving forward and just hope I get this damn title shot.
I gotta know, cause I'll never know what it's like to be a fighter, and I'm like so jealous. I'm not jealous, but I wrestled in high school. You know, I won the prep school class A's, which was a big deal in the prep school league, 4 years in a row. And I look at that, and I often like go, man, I look up to you guys so much, but I wonder what is it like when you're in an octagon, and Gray Maynard hits you, and then you're down, and then you're down again. And you're down again. Like, are you just is the room spinning? Are you just hearing voices?
Yeah, I guess I don't know what's going on. I mean, I don't remember much of it until after I watch it, and I think I'm on autopilot because I'm listening. Some of the stuff I'm doing, I'm listening to my guys, so I must be coherent.
Yeah.
You know? But I don't really remember much of it.
I mean, is it like Rocky? You know how like in Rocky gets hit and then he like sees the train and everything is in slow motion.
Yeah. No trains, none of that. I don't know what. I honestly couldn't tell you because I don't remember. You know, sometimes I think in that fight it was like the fourth round. I remember bouncing around and saying, "Damn, what the hell happened to my ankle?" And I think in the first round when I got dropped one of the times, I rolled back on my ankle and I had no idea what happened to my ankle. In the fourth round, I kind of came to and I'm like, "Damn, my ankle hurts," and I had no idea why. I mean, even afterwards, they're like, my coaches were telling me there's something about the takedown. I'm like, I took him down? They're like, oh, you took him down like four times. I'm like, I don't remember.
Dude, your coach, we had Henzo on the podcast, and he was talking about how one of his fights in Brazil, he backed up against the octagon and somebody stabbed him. He was saying in one of his fights.
Yeah, it's pretty wild over there. I seen one where some dude was talking trash to him over the cage, and he reached back and blasted the dude. I'm always fighting a 45-minute fight with some guy. He's nuts over there.
Then he was saying that he went to a concert with his kid, and someone was talking shit to him at a concert, and they were giving his daughter alcohol. And he's like, hey, man, quit giving my daughter alcohol. She's 19. The guy's like, fuck you, old man. So he waited for him in the bathroom, choked him out, and then put the guy's head in the toilet. So I guess if these are your coaches, you know, they're probably not that nerve. They're probably not that worried about you. These are the guys coaching you.
Nah, yeah. They'll send me in. Then I'm on.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Now, are you still training with the Rutgers wrestling team?
I'm not like on staff for coaching. I still go up there and work out. I'm probably gonna hit them up this week. You know, during camps, I kind of keep it MMA oriented. I mean, I wrestle, but more with my coach. But in between fights, I like to go up there and work out with the guys.
Yeah, now, I gotta ask. Like, you were at 55 and you were fighting guys coming down from 180, and now you're at 45. Have you noticed the that the guys aren't as strong at 45?
Yeah, you can tell. Just like the body types, you know. Not so much. I'm not really a guy that goes in there and tries to muscle guys or anything. I'm able to keep guys down a little easier. And I think I was getting takedowns everywhere, but now I can get takedowns and kind of hold you down a little bit easier now that these guys are more my size.
Yeah. All right. Let's go over the fights this week. There's some good fights this week. I'd love to get your picks on them. Dan Henderson versus Tim Bosch.
Dan Henderson, Tim Bosch. And I'm such a Henderson fan, man. I'm always going to pick Dan. So I'll go with him on that one.
I hope Dan wins, man. I mean, I mean Tim Bosch is a solid dude, but, like, I kind of want to see Dan retire already because I just feel like he's taking too much.
You know, you want to know if he's at the end, but, I mean, that right hand's an equalizer, so he's always in it.
Does it bother you that you don't have that right hand, that you have to punch the guys so much?
I would love to have that right hand.
It seems like you got to do a lot more work. Matt Mitrione versus Ben Rothwell.
That's a toss-up for me. Whoever connects first, you know. Rothwell's been looking pretty decent. I think Mitrione is a lot more one of the most athletic big guys, but I think if Rothwell connects, it might be over.
Right. It seems like Mitrione beats the guys that I think he's going to lose to, and then loses the guys I think he's going to beat. You know.
He's super athletic. I feel like if he puts it together, man, he'd be dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. He doesn't like me. He like called me a nerd on like Twitter, which
did
I am.
Really?
I guess I am a nerd, so I guess it's not really an insult. Dustin Poirier against Yancy Medeiros.
You know, that guy Yancy's tough, man. I train with Dustin. He's a good dude. I think, you know, Dustin's at 55, he's been doing well. I'll pick Dustin.
Yeah, do you pick Dustin? It's gonna be a good fight. I mean, Yancy's pretty damn good. And the only time
Gracie guys, the Gracie brothers too. I mean, he's tough, but I don't know much super lot about him. I know I trained with Poirier. He's definitely a tough, solid kid. You know, I'm not too good at picking fights, man. To be honest.
Brian Ortega, Thiago Tavares. You know these guys?
Thiago Tavares. Yes, I know him. I know the other guy, but I know Thiago Tavares, so I'll go with him.
The other guy is 10-0, but he got caught for steroids. His first fight in the UFC, he got popped for roids.
So he's still 10-0, though? How's that right?
I guess it won no contest.
No contest, I'm sorry.
What do you think of the whole three-year ban?
Yeah, I mean, it's for Fred. You know what? Good, I guess. It'll make guys not want to do steroids, you know?
I think it's good, but then again, I think they have to get more specific because, like, I know my girl Ashley Evan Smith took a diuretic to lose weight, and then she got popped for that. And I mean, does she get popped for three years if you take a stupid diuretic? I think
they're gonna have to like iron it out a little more. I think, but maybe first time offense 2 years. I don't know. I mean, you know, you don't want to ruin a kid who's just made a dumb mistake's life, you know, career at fighting, but. Then again, you want to definitely deter guys from thinking about taking steroids.
Now, how many guys have you trained with? You don't have to say who are juicing.
I don't know, man. I'm coming kind of from a small camp, you know. So I'm sure there are guys that are, you know, but none of my guys in my immediate circle, I would say, are.
Good. You have a really good team, man. You're it's like you guys are all solid New Jersey guys, which is great.
Yeah, we got some solid Jersey guys and some Brazilian guys and transplants, you know what I mean, that kind of make it all right.
Yeah. Sean Jordan, Derek Lewis. This is going to be the fight of the night. I mean, someone's getting knocked out in this fight.
Yeah, I'll go Sean Jordan. This dude's like my height, but a monster.
Other guy's a monster, too. The other guy fought on the same card as you. Remember that guy? He was on the same card as you on that the huge black dude that was just fucking throwing haymakers.
Oh, the Black Beast.
The Black Beast.
Yeah. He is a Black Beast. Damn. I don't know, man. Whoever gets hit first, see what a good shot's going.
And then finally, Francisco Rivera versus Bruce Leroy.
Oh, man. Bruce Leroy did pretty good against Uriah. I don't know if that was his last fight, but I remember seeing that one.
So did Rivera, though. Rivera was beating Uriah until he got poked.
Yeah, exactly. That's about to say. Yeah, but I feel like he'd get the best of Uriah. So I'm going to go. I'll go with Rivera.
Yeah, I think Leroy smokes too much weed. And I have no allegations. I'm just assuming that. Now, listen, I'm going to be in Jersey June 19th and 20th playing Princeton, New Jersey. Are you going to be there?
June 19th and 20th. Yes, I will be there. It's a Friday, Saturday, right?
Friday, Saturday. Catch a Rising Star in Princeton.
All right. I might have to come check you out Friday.
That'll be great.
It'll work, too.
No, that'll be awesome. Bring your beautiful wife. Have some more kids during the show.
Yeah, hey, you never know, man. You never know.
Dude, I've, like, seen your wife. If I had your wife, I would have three kids, too. I have three kids first
night.
Yeah,
I got to get on it when I can. You
your
know?
Wife is smoking hot, and she's like and she's Jersey hot. So she's like aging well. She got little hips. She's tan. She got the cute accent. You're a lucky dude. So
she's all right. I lucked out.
You lucked out, man. Well, listen, Frankie, it's a pleasure having you on the show. Good luck with everything, man. It's an honor to have you on the show. You honestly are my favorite fighter. So thanks for everything, man.
Adam, thanks so much. I hope to see you in Jersey here at Princeton.
All right, take care, Frank.
All right, bro. Take care.
All right, that was Frankie Edgar. Nice guy, man. What a solid dude. So that was our podcast for today. You could find me at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. I want to thank our sponsors, HempCore. I'm telling you guys, if you want to get buff and feel good and everything else, and you want to actually. If you need a good life, if you want your life to improve, start taking HempCore. These guys, they're Canadians. You know they're good. I'm half Canadian. It doesn't contain any illegal ingredient. And listen, it's currently used by fighters all over North America. 4 tablespoons or 2 scoops provide our athletes with 16 grams of highly digestible protein per serving. That's 700 milligrams of omega-3, 130 calories, 6 grams of dietary fiber, along with an almost unbeatable nutritional facts list and amino acid profile. So go to HempCoreStore.com. That's HempCoreStore.com. Also, listen, people, I know how important your business is. A lot of you guys have businesses out there. You know people who have businesses. And graffiti and, you know, all kinds of vandalism is not good. If you go to a store and you see something that's all vandalized, you're going to keep walking. You're not going to want to go there. However, the guys at Remove It Restoration have you covered. Call them at 1-888-424-9697 or go to removeitrestoration.com. They remove everything, and they'll take care of it for a good price. Tell them that you heard of them from MMA Roasted, or Adam, and they'll even they'll hook you guys up. So removeitrestoration.com as well as HempCore Store. Thank you to Frankie Edgar, Will Brooks, Jake Ellenberger. Next week we have Chris Weidman, Johnny Hendricks, and Anthony Burchak. We got a stacked show next week. So thank you guys so much. This weekend I will be in Planet Gemini in – where am I? Planet Gemini in California in – the Planet Gemini in Northern California. It's in Northern California. Also, I have a movie.
In Monterey.
Also, I have a movie called Pinned. You can please donate on Indiegogo. We're getting there, guys. We're getting there. We're over $5,000, which is we're gonna get there. We're gonna get there. I'm gonna make this movie. It's gonna be hilarious. I think in this year in Sundance, 70% of the movies have been funded independently on Kickstarter and Indiegogo. So I'm doing it too. Fuck waiting around for someone to do it for me. I'm doing it. So if you like this show and you want to help me, donate. Whether it's $5, $10, $10,000, everything helps. Obviously, $10,000 helps more. But thank you guys so much. Thanks, Fox Sports. Have a great week.